As for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. You're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
Adapt 2030 Mini Ice Saves Conversations covers changes in our climate due to a new and intensifying grand solar minimum. In the media, overlooking, downplaying, or burying cold weather changes occurring on our planet. This is in order to keep the global warming agenda steaming full speed ahead. I do this podcast and radio program because we need to begin conversations on how to adapt our food growing strategies long before 2030, as agricultural zones shift, affecting global crop output. But very few mainstream media outlets are talking about the most important issue of our time, cold weather crop losses. Our sun is going through a 400-year cycle, which has effects on our weather patterns as our magnetosphere weakens and the jet streams go out of flow. It's not CO2, it's not you, it's the sun. Are you ready to thrive in the grand solar minimum? Then join me for Mini Ice Age Conversations. I'm your host, David Dubine, creator of the Adapt 2030 Mini Ice Age 2015 to 2035 video series. And I do welcome you this evening, this morning, or this afternoon on this beautiful blue planet. We're water, one of the most abundant resources in the entire universe, worth more than its weight in gold, is right in front of you. This planet is very special, very, very, very special. Water is life. CO2 and plant growth is life. What if you could map the cycles of life? Now, Ransom, he'll be joining me in just a little bit here. But I want to set the stage for tonight as cyclical. I guess that's the best word to use. When we're taught everything is linear, it starts today, there's tomorrow, there's next day, next month, or last year, 10 years ago, last decade, last century, last millennia, When have you heard in traditional schooling that things revolve in cycles? Unless you had some outlandish teacher from the 60s who used to be a hippie that was then a 30-something. That would explain that there were cycles. Uses of plant medicines to dive into the cycle, see the intensity. What was wrong with the earth? What was wrong with yourself, with us, with the society? The energetic places that we transit through in our solar system, moving through the spiral arm of the galaxy, around with other solar systems, mapped out. Heavier energies, denser debris fields, lower energies, empty space, if you will. Tens of millions of years mapped out. When we look at our planet, it's 4.5 billion years old. And we're supposed to believe thinking life just started like a fraction of a second ago on that 4.5 billion years. Well, the universe is 12.5 billion years old, so there's something that got an 8.5 billion years start on us that has better technology to map cycles than we do, perhaps. So when we're looking at the cycles, we're back into another one. And you got these long duration cycles. I think about since the Younger Dryas one, we as a species exited out of that massive cataclysm Randall Carlson talks about, Graham Hancock, the impact on the ice sheet that wiped out all the major North American animals. Remember, saber-toothed tigers used to be here. They're not here anymore. We got bobcats. All the big stuff's down in Africa. It was on the other side of the planet on the opposite hemisphere of the impact. That kind of cataclysmic event bringing us back down in, oh, that's a massive change. But what if there's changes within these changes that are mapped out as well? And you, the elite of the planet, obviously held the ancient knowledge, perhaps even encapsulated and encoded it, and has been the same families in power for tens of thousands of years. Even the last 12,000, whoever has the best technology and access to ancient cultures and information that was found in archaeological digs that could preserve that and understand the cycles of even the last 12,000 years or even the last 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, that would give you a good indication of where we're sitting in the changes right now. So the cycle's here. It started again. We're coming into this food loss time right now in the cycle of the beginning. As the magnetosphere gets a little weaker, our northern and southern poles start to transit or wander, as they call it, polar wander. Food production was going to be stymied and stifled and reduced anyway just from this. These are the grand solar minimum crop losses that I have been talking about for 7+ years now that we're starting. And it's definitely in earnest right into the years now we're coming into crop losses. Think about that. Become an elite for a second in your mind. If you knew the cycle was back again and a lot of things would not make it through. Because you look at these transition points over the last, say, 2,000 years. I mean, the entire old world just completely disappears, and then a new one starts. It's a complete collapse, whether it be the Roman Empire or the Qing Dynasty or the Ming Dynasty or the Yuan Dynasty or whatever it is with the Arab traders and the frankincense roots all collapsed, everything. So what's happening with even what is quote-unquote modern history? Who controls the history, too? You know, there were massive volcanic eruptions 535 AD for about 3 years, but that chapter in history is really not there. You know, we got the classic end of the Roman Empire 400 exactly the same things going on with what's happening now. Debasement of currencies, not enough food being grown, corrupt governments, the armies that were being too outlandish comparatively to what it was as the code of honor, etc. The system was broken. It started over. But then, you know, we missed a few hundred years there, not the Dark Ages, but literally a few hundred years from, say, 535 to 800, and there's that gap there. That was a complete dissolving or disillusion of a society's way, and it just started again. Now, 800 AD was the Tang Dynasty, which over in China was the most elegant of the time of engineering and art. And there must have been an enormous amount of food and wealth because they had a huge amount of leisure time to pursue pleasures and things of the mind, whether it be, like I say, engineering or mathematics, construction, stonework, fireworks, weaponry, whatever. They were had a huge amount of extra time because their bellies were full. And that changed, and the dynasty fell some several hundred years later. But you see how integral food is into bringing it to the point. Now, we've come through that point as well, like the 90s and the 2000s were our bountiful, incredible years of harvest on the planet without almost taking a breath. But now, this cycle was known to culminate and start right now, wiping out food production globally to the point where what we grow is what we get yearly. That was in the best of times. And that was already known that it would occur right about now. 2021 to 2023 was the start date. These 3 years, one of these 3 years was the forecast start date decades, plural, ago. And I've done many a chart putting it 2021. So you could call it at the end of that year or this year. I mean, it's within a six-month period. Because we had better satellite measurements in these last 5 years. So you could really see how it was changing with the 10-point centimeter flux and how things were not really ramping up in the solar cycles as were predicted. Years late on the getting starting on this solar cycle, and it's going to drop off really fast. So a lot of people are saying, well, there's a few sunspots out there, and your solar cycle predictions are incorrect because there's sunspots now. I'm like, well, that's like calling a game in the second inning. Come on. Let it play out. First quarter, you can come on, let the game play. So we were coming into these crop losses now anyway. And here's where it gets kind of mystical, and I don't know if I'm really going too deep into the layers of the cake here or if I should trend toward the side of fact only, but the fact leads to the other layer cake. So I don't know. They're kind of intertwined. Now, see, a series of governments or a set of governments themselves, when we come into this lean food period where there would be starvation and riots on the streets, that's just the norm in these grand solar minimums. That is what happens every grand solar minimum, 100% of the time. So you know that would happen. But see, there's a little bit of anger difference in that. Not being warned that this was coming and then have it happen and get hungry and your children starve and you're hungry and go into the street then is going to be like a 50x of the anger because they weren't warned and they squandered 20 years of this global warming. Versus having an excuse and then there would be no animosity toward the government. There was just an excuse. It was a supply chain breakdown. COVID came. But I'm going to go out on a huge limb here. COVID facilitated two different agendas at the same exact time. First, back to 2019, there were people on the streets every day protesting central banking, fiat currency, government handling of monetary policy. And it was 20 plus countries where there were tens of millions, if not 100 million people on the streets every day saying, we need to take back control of the money system. USOBs have been wasting it, squandering it, stealing it, embezzling it, and we've had enough. At the same time, repo market was crashing and they were putting in, I think, I can't remember, half a trillion dollars a night, something like 400 billion to 500 billion per night just to keep everything stable. Well, COVID comes, and then they can inject as much money as they possibly could need to keep the system floating a little bit longer. And at the same time, you stopped all those street protests against central banking. So look at that. Elite get to print never-ending money for 2 years because of the COVID. Perfect timing. But at the same time, the same thing that's printing all the money right now was the same target that the people had it correct in 2019, the central banking and the handling of monetary policy of government. When you look at how much money that thing's printed, that monster has printed in the last 2 years, the system floated for as long as it could float. The food shortages were the thing that they were trying to mask anyway. And I'm saying they, as the, like I say, the global elite, these rulers that have become their own club within clubs, putting themselves in positions of power. No different than the Roman Empire, no different at all than the senators. They're all put in place, same, same, but different. End result will be the same. Food shortages will topple the government and economy. So, you be the leader of the world, be the leader of a country for a minute. You got to have an excuse why food won't be there. Because see, if there's just food shortages, nothing else wrong, people are going to be super angry. Again, you didn't warn them. But if there's a breakdown of supply chains because of COVID, and this all starts to twist together now, makes sense. The blaming of the non-food production could be blamed on the supply chain breakdowns caused by COVID. But at the same time, COVID also stopped every protest about central banking and monetary policy on the planet in an instant stop, no more. And it allowed those central banks around the world and the Bank for International Settlements and World Bank to print to infinitum and grab nearly every asset and get us onto this universal basic income. And you see how much money has been – there's been more money printed in these last 2 years than pretty much all of history ever combined across the planet in 2 years. So you see how it all really dovetailed nicely together. Incredibly succinct, almost like it was planned. That's how well it fell together. Okay, supply chain breakdowns of fertilizer and farm inputs like herbicides, pesticides can only take you so far down the street. Because like it is this year, we're going to have massive crop losses. Now you can get away with 1 year and saying, no, there wasn't enough fertilizer, supply chain's broken down. Because the very next year there would be a Manhattan-style project to get everything focused on fertilizer delivered as efficiently and the whole world would stop and refocus fertilizer like they did with masks. And gel for your hands, that kind of retooling, but for fertilizer sent out to the entire planet. I mean, how fast did they turn around and do all those cleaning things and the masks in every place and every nook and cranny? You can get masks find a box up in the Alaskan tundra somewhere, just laying there for free. You know, I mean, there's that, it got that far back into humanity. Siberia, free masks. You know, like what? Come on. Top of the Himalaya, you get there, Everest. Oh, you got to put a mask on if you want to touch the peak. Okay, free masks at Everest Peak now. I mean, really, it's gone that far to that kind of project to bring you fertilizer. And then, you know, next year there could be no excuse for crop losses. Except there would be because the sun's responsible for the shortening of the growth season. It's out of sync. Freezing cold temperature ridiculousness like we're seeing now. It's going to be 0 degrees Fahrenheit over the weekend. And then where I'm at, it's going to be 11 degrees Fahrenheit. An enormous amount of things in East Tennessee have bloomed out already. Those flowers are going to be frozen solid and all die off and fall off. That's the kind of thing coming in that they can't control. So now, as you understand, a single year of crop losses would refocus the world into fertilizer production and distribute it as efficiently as masks, vaccines, and hand gel sanitizer was across the planet over these 2 years. Every nook and cranny of the planet has been penetrated with masks, gloves, and all that gear. It's a family-friendly show. I'll keep it at that. You could do the same thing with fertilizers within a year and then start, well, that's not really the problem. The problem is the sun. So now you're going to have a second excuse on top of that, because that first excuse won't carry you far enough. It's a good base layer. Don't kid me. It's a great base layer. But now they have the global war, and the fertilizers are shutting down, the delivery chain's even more broken. So this just takes it levels up, where everybody will have forgotten about the actual fertilizer shortage that was here already, along with the herbicide shortage already. They were expecting something like between 19 and 23% reduction in global agriculture this year, just from fertilizers and herbicides not being available, to the point of massive amounts of non-able to grow at yields that are normal. We'd be way down into just half production. That was already happening. And then all of a sudden you got the wartime footing here, and whoosh, everybody forgot about that. And no, it's the Russians, it's the Moldovans, it's the Belarusians. They're not going to sell their potash to us. Oh, 180 million tons is off the books now. So what you're seeing is playing chaos. It's nothing to do with what you're thinking it might be. It's not organic in any way, shape, or form. It is a stage play that you're witnessing to try to mask global crop losses. And it's been that way. What do you think global warming was for? It was to distract and cover for what was coming in electromagnetically and the effects on our jet streams and cloud cells when the actual magnetic field of the planet was affected by the sun. That whole global warming thing is to explain away that connection electromagnetically of our sun and our earth and how it shifts and changes when that field off of the sun changes. So at that point, you as a government, you start to lose way a lot of control when it's driven by the sun. Not humans, can't tax it, no control. People understand the cycle, and they can do math, and they can do simple math, and they can map it out, and they're like, well, we don't need government anymore. We need to take care of ourselves. Plus, I'm going to get no benefit from you. I don't pay taxes anymore. If I don't take a domestic – or if I don't even take one domestic flight through the year, then I should be reduced taxes of any way, shape, and form, right? If I don't fly internationally, if I don't take my car out of my state, I don't need any of these national taxes and national services. The government's a joke. And we look at this clown show that's running things right now. It is seriously meant there to put chaos. It is a clown show on purpose to create chaos. But chaos for what? The chaos of the breakdown to cover the food shortages that were inbound because the sun's changing its frequency and the electromagnetic output on a cycle that is known and mappable and forecastable. Which brings me to the beginning of the show. That's what it's about. So where do we go from here? Well, you already see what's happening in this whole grand scheme of things. So why don't I take you through my forecast here? I'm waiting for ransom to come on. So while we do that, I am going to give you a forecast out through 2025 and tell you why these governments are panicking, why they're creating these false shortages and excuses for shortages. And I don't know if you're going to like what I have to say, but things were going to collapse anyway on the industrial side and the infrastructure side. When this electromagnetic field of our planet changes, specifically now, May is going to be your marker period of looking for about three or four things to happen. First, the gas giants are going to swing into a configuration not seen since 79 AD. Okay, they're going to create some magnetic instability in the outer solar system, possibly their own magnetic field. It's kind of an unknown because it hasn't been seen in 2,000 years. We don't have really good records of them, except extreme upheaval because of this. Planets moving around in their orbits. in May, this is going to occur. And when the magnetic instability hits our planet, as the sun interacts with us and these separate magnetic fields forming, the Earth's crust is going to start to behave strangely to the point where it'll uplift, crack, rift, fissure, and pull. But only in the top 2 miles. So the infrastructure is going to break anyway. So then if you got supply chains, then you can already have an excuse ready made for when things start cracking, rifting, et cetera. Oh, it was supply chains. Oh, it was just another rail line that got uplifted 30 feet in the middle of a farm field, but, you know, it was a rail breakdown. Wasn't any grand solar minimum. It was the rail. And again, they're going to keep blaming. Oh, it was the bridge that pulled apart. You know how when they focus on it, it's the bridge that pulled off the thing in Pennsylvania. They never really gave an excuse for it. They just kept focusing on the bridge pulled off the banks. Well, what caused that pull? The Earth's crust pulling wider in those rift areas already. Yep. So you already see that's another cover for changes. May is when you're looking for this. I would look for a huge uptick. Oh, and you know what the story is going to be to mask that, to try to get you distracted? Watch it. Watch it. Magic trick here. Whoosh. Fertilizer shortages will be the number one story coming up around May. And that will be May, June, July, front page all the time, MSNBC, all the mainstream news, just like it is now about gas prices, will be about fertilizer shortage and not being able to grow enough food, which will panic people. That way you will forget that the Earth top 2 miles of the crust is rifting and shaking and infrastructure's shattering and rifting and breaking. That will be your distraction. That's kind of what you can look for in the next few months. I'm glad it's going to take place instantaneously, because then you can see the outcome of how I see it playing out. And I can also see it playing out in almost real time of where I've made a mistake, perhaps, perhaps not, or what I got right or what I got wrong. And then I can adjust, because it's that close in every time the new event occurs. It's not like forecasting something 20 years out and waiting. I'm forecasting something that's in like 6 to 7 weeks, 8 weeks. And when it starts to consolidate and hit, then you can really see where things are going off on the periphery that might have been missed or you could add to. But that is it. Ransom, welcome.
How's it going, David? Wow. I've been, you know, like stuck on the news lately, and I am convinced that we're more like on a 12,000-year cycle. I think we're right about to just a whole new world is about to open up to people. I've been watching all of the countries, from China to the U.S. and their strategic moves to realign to this new thing. And you could tell that this Ukrainian thing is like the focal point of all things, precious metals, rare earth metals, food, territory. It seems so ultrally planned that I think you're right that, we just need to ignore all that and start getting prepared for the new era of, the way humans are going to be working on this planet. I think it's, in my opinion, I think we're going to go through a Stone Age period here. I mean, not completely a Stone Age, but I mean without power. I don't know if you saw the, reports coming out that supposedly one of our major, natural gas, companies got hacked, which was really no surprise, because if you've been watching Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and Putin and Biden and all of these figureheads that are constantly talking on the airwaves of the media, they're all talking about one thing: cyber attacks, massive wars, famine, the destruction of currency. And if you paid attention, I'm sure you did, the Biden administration is making executive orders in the way that they want to take over and control cryptocurrency, not in the near future, but right now. They want control of it right now. So I know you've been talking a lot about this monetary reset and how, like, kind of overnight your wealth will be not the same kind of wealth anymore. If you've already invested in things, hopefully not like Moderna and Pfizer, because I have a feeling those stocks are about to tumble. if you've been paying attention to what's going on, I'm amazed because, here on YouTube, I've been playing a lot of stuff that would usually get me banned, but because it's public knowledge now, I guess they don't care, because we've moved on from the old topic, and now it doesn't matter what you say really on YouTube as long as you hate Putin. If you hate Putin and you're pro-Ukrainian, that's all that matters. And I'm seeing this pattern that we've talked about before. This is now the second time since I've been alive that the entire world, every single media institution, a politician, are all talking about the same thing. What are they all talking about? Ukraine, 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 Ukraine. So it makes you wonder what really big moves are going on in the background. One of those is China is taking this opportunity to lay stake on the world domination market. And I think the countries are calling the U.S.'s bluff finally. So the U.S. is either going to have to come out with next level technology, or like I really think, it's part of a complete plan and the United States has already been given over. Basically we've been conquered without ever a shot being fired by people in suits. What do you think about that? And are you kind of surprised? I mean, I don't want to say like I told you so about so many things, but I did mention it and I'm sure you feel the same way because you've been on here talking about this time period that we're going in for years now, and you've been talking about food shortages, fertilizer shortages, and now I'm hearing all of those exact same phrases on mainstream media finally. Like I was watching a show earlier on Fox where they were talking about how Russia was going to have some real problems because of the fertilizer shortage, and that they're making moves to keep all of their fertilizer, which is something that I believe you said about a month ago, that all of the countries were going to be doing that soon. And now we're seeing it in real time. So I don't think we have to like postulate or predict anything anymore. Everything that we've said is kind of coming back and showing itself, kind of exactly how we, predicted. I remember at least a month ago, you asked me, what would be the next distraction? And there was really only two choices that they have left in the playbook, which was World War III or a fake alien invasion. And I wouldn't count the second one out just yet. But here we go with every single person, politician, Republican or Democrat, talking about, using thermonuclear weapons, about, violating treaties I talked last week about Germany sending weapons into the Ukraine, and now Poland is talking about also doing the same thing, but not more than that. They want to participate in a no-fly zone, which is an unequivocal move to start a world war. And there's no doubt about that. And, I've been doing a lot of studying into the region, like refreshing my history. And, it wasn't that far back that Western Ukraine was Poland and Eastern Ukraine was Russia. And, the Ukrainians have switched sides so many times since World War One, like, they would ally with the Russians and they'd go back with the Germans and then they'd go back, with the Russians during the Cold War and then go with NATO. It's obviously a pivotal point, not only in history, but right now, where all of the major game players with food, with the rare earth, elements, with, crypto mining. I mean, there's just so many things that are converging in Ukraine right now. And then, you got to talk about all of these biolabs, the biolabs that supposedly didn't exist, but now they're confirmed by our own government that we did indeed have not weapons labs, but labs that held things that could be weaponized very easily. And you got to ask yourself, why did they put so many of those labs in that strategic area? And I come up with a couple of theories. One of them is basically they left it there for the Russians to find it so that they could have some kind of issue with that. Or number two, they were literally planning on maybe, accidentally releasing another one or two, things out into the world. And now it's so weird now because what I was getting banned for is now common knowledge. So like, I guess we're allowed to talk about that Moderna had a patent on the virus, in 2016 and things like that. It's so mind boggling right now. you know, what you can and can't say. But it's funny that now that they've moved on to the new distraction, World War III, they really don't care, like, about the other thing. My state has lifted all of the mandates. I believe, you know, most of the countries and states are going to do that. But I do want to remind people that they may be ending the mandates, but they left the framework, the legal framework, for them to do it at any time for any reason in the near future. And I kind of think that's where we stand. What do you think? Do you think we're actually going to go into a kinetic global war over a country, you know, like with some very questionable histories and ties and motivations with their own government? You don't really have to go back that far, just, you know, like 2014, if you knew what was going on there, to recognize what we're seeing now. And what do you think, Dave? Do you think that we are actually seeing, and not predicting, but actually seeing the consolidation of a world government right now?
Consolidation of a government that hopes to last through this cataclysm coming up through the next 3 years, and some sort of loose framework that's trying to bind itself. Like, they're trying to make binding agreements as we're going through this collapse. And the commentary and debris bombardment in 2025, I mean, they're going to go underground with their, and then whoever comes back out in 26, 27, you know, is going to be the remnants of what that new framework will try to establish itself over. Now, everything that's led up to Ukraine, it's seriously, all I can see is that it's been laid like this, like you say, as a focal point, to have excuse cover for excuse cover. For the fertilizer shortages, the wheat embargo, the reduction of foods. Because if you would have used Russia and Kazakhstan, you could have not come out with the same exact outcome. Although Kazakhstan and Ukraine are very close in exports of and growing area and availability of, you know, grains coming out of those nations. But it wouldn't have had the same effect. It had to be Ukraine. They needed to lock down the Black Sea. That had to be the excuse for the wheat exports. They're going to ration wheat. It had to be the explanation for complete cutoff of the fertilizer to then reduce global yields by 35%. You know, there has to be an explanation for all these crop losses, because everything in play you're seeing is a cover for masking the natural crop losses from the sun. The electromagnetic field changes. The behavioral changes in humans. Like, they're so scatterbrained right now, including myself, looking in. I try to stay away from the news these last few days and just more try to, you know, look at the overall pattern of how this is being used to mask everything that was forecast for reductions in food. Then you can get a different look at it, because you're right. COVID was a united front of all nations. But the same thing with Ukraine. So you know they're gonna use this to implement a new money system. Again, it'll probably be the entire world adopting the same cryptocurrency measures, rules, laws, whatever that's being passed in the States might be ratified, because the EU tried to ram that through real fast too for sanctions of Russia. I mean, things that would have taken years to have debates on got squeezed through in like 2 days, because it was a rush through for sanctions for Russia. So 2 years of legislation on book that with no debate, nobody saw it, nobody, just got ramroded through, right through, boom, and now it's on law. That's in Europe, though. It's got to retain control, because this ration card that you're going to receive, okay, everybody didn't do the vaccine card. There's still probably 60% of the people in the world that don't have it, don't want it, will never get it. But food is something different. You know, it's the same principle of the same. Like you said, leave the framework in place. Well, the framework is for digital IDs anyway. The framework's in place. For now, it's going to be rationing, food rationing, starting with wheat, corn. Because they're on the united front for Ukraine. So imagine if the world starts a rationing program based on a digital ID, everybody will fall in sync. And that's the same exact thing that happened with COVID. Perhaps they knew everybody wouldn't do it, and just like enough people would be aware. And okay, maybe they already had gamed that out, that they had, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G choices, where when it was trending this way, then they could implement the next thing based on where COVID trended to. Because the awareness of the human is increasing daily with these changes in the sun. So the resonance frequency that's coming through us is our physical bodies magnetically is changing. So the way we're perceiving reality is changing also. Elites can barely hold on as we speak because of that effect. But if you could scramble that, you could still maintain control by scrambling the energy field around the people. So if it was with fear, with panic, with whatever it is, COVID, look how much that changed our world and how much weird energy. And when I say that, I really want you to kind of think about pure flowing sine wave energy, upgrading, uplifting, charging, becoming lighter in vibration, color changes, spectral into the love, going toward white and just incredible like joy coming out of that and that frequency change. And then all the icky energy. Now throw a whole bucket full of that icky COVID energy inside there with all the feelings of terror and just suicide and all those things that took place and the job losses and the sorrow and the hate and the animosity and the anger and all these things, the disbelief and all these like crazy emotions, and take a big bucket full and dump it in there. That's the disruption pattern inside that waveform. So Ukraine is exactly the same thing. It's a disruption pattern in the waveform of you and me, the Homo sapiens sapien, turning on, or have not, maybe not even we turn it on, but is given as a gift that turns on where we sit in the cycle, where our solar system is transiting at this point, and what energies we're traversing through space at the moment as our entire solar system moves. That kind of energy change, you could scramble the field a little more. Because think about it. If COVID was put in place to scramble energy of us awakening 2 years ago, and we're coming into the cycle, should culminate in, say, 2024, at least this first magnetic wave, that was a 2 year scramble. Now imagine right now, 2022 through 4, two more years. That'll be right in the middle of the actual apex in October of 2024. If we do 2 years, this Ukraine thing will take us up to probably middle or end of 2024, the second harvest season out. Again, scrambling the field. I don't know. Whatever it is, governments are desperate and try to hold on. But again, I really think they had gamed it out where, okay, there's six possible outcomes for the COVID. They're going to awake. They're not awake. Everybody's going to get the shot. Nobody's getting the shot. They're going to fight the government. They're not. It's going to be a 50-50. And we kind of ended up with some hybrid of that. But that was gamed out, that outcome of a hybrid of what we've seen with COVID. Some people didn't. Social media, news, sharing information, side effects, everything. Then that came out to that whatever scenario down that pipeline. Well, then the follow-up to that would be gamed out by AI also, and this is it right here that we're seeing. So this is their next best field scramble for the energy. And as we move forward, well, you got to think about it. Maybe, Ransom, you were the one telling me, over the history of time, we've exploded, 2,700 nuclear weapons on this planet already. So an extra 2, 3, 4, or 5 over some cities or remote locations like the Alberta tar sands or somewhere way up there, it'll make a big difference on the news. But in reality, because we blew off thousands of nukes across the planet already, it'll be nothing. It'll be nothing. But the terror they can gain out of that in like non-usable targets that are higher up in the latitudes. What are some other expendables? Oh, those Chinese cities, those ghost Chinese cities. Maybe that's one. I mean, you're in the middle of the desert. Remember, the Nevada test desert, that stuff's all in the valley. How many tests did they do in Nevada alone? You think that place you couldn't live through for 10,000 years is how many tests they've done there. But if you were to take out a place in Mongolia or Ningxia or somewhere else way up in the desert, Inner Mongolia, grasslands, whatever, it would be nothing almost. I mean, yes, it would be traumatic, but the amount of fallout going around, depending on the yield of the weapon, I mean, Ransom, was that you telling me there was 2,000 plus nuclear weapons detonated on our planet so far to date? Was that you?
Yes, I was telling as far as I know, I think the number is 2058, but that might be an older number. And what's so strange about the pick, let me conspiracy theory you here. You've been talking a lot about our vibrations changing and our perception of everything. And I have an article up by Acromax, I think it's the name of the site. And it's talking about COVID, that it and we're just talking infection. We're not talking any medication or anything, just supposedly the infection of this patented, or maybe you can't say that yet. I don't know. But anyway, this pandemic we just had, they're saying that the virus itself by itself can shrink the brain as much as a decade of aging. So not only is there brain shrinking, neurological problems, low sperm count, infertility problems for women. You can go on and on. So this is going on in the background right now. This is a fact. This is part of our biodome now. And now we're getting bombarded with super fear. If that fear wasn't enough, now there's super fear of thermonuclear detonation. And I don't think that they just pick Ukraine over its shatter belt position in Eastern Europe. I think the reason that they picked it is nothing other than their flag. Now, if you go out through history, you could go to Alexander the Great, any of them, they all wanted this area. Why? Because of the wheat, the endless fields of wheat that can be grown there. And their flag, the blue stripe on the top stands for the sky, the blue sky of, you know, lots of sunshine, and the yellow on the bottom of the flag actually stands for wheat, because there's endless fields of wheat. And so if you think about that, this spot could possibly get nuked. Now, what happens to the world's breadbasket when there's radioactive fallout, biological issues from maybe one of these labs, or just straight turmoil? Any of those, you know, necessarily ends in massive famines worldwide. Of course, you're not going to feel it if you live in an area where there's still stuff and you go to the store and you're like, eh, it's no big deal. I think people are finally starting to realize what's going on only because of the gas pump. And then when you realize that they made a mistake in ethanol corn, it's not really working out as the fuel they wanted. Plus, you know, it's not going into the bellies of animals and humans worldwide. It's being you know, changed over for biofuels and all of this stuff. And now we're at a point where they picked this specific iconology of wheat and blue skies as kind of like an end to a era. You're going to see the Ukrainian flag change. Hopefully it won't go to that red and black flag that you always see their military with. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say what that stands for. But there are several, factions in Ukraine that go back all the way to World War II that have a certain ideology that you might not be able to say on YouTube still. But I'm pretty sure that flag's going to change, and it's going to represent empire later. You know, classically, red and black and white have been the colors of empires that have gone on. And then you pick this country that has several ethnicities over time that have had issues with each other in a very small area, because Ukraine's not really that big of a country when you think about it. Like, you could come out here to New Mexico and Ukraine's like three or four counties in our state. It's not really that big. Yet, it's a bunch of flat land that's been farmed for, you know, millennia. And it's been the focal point of every empire trying to seize control of that. And then if an empire can't, what will they do? They'll just destroy it. And I think that they want to destroy that whole area, because that will be the blame. Biden just recently got asked about the gas prices, you know, and his only answer was, well, that's Putin's responsibility. Even though that we all know the prices were going up, the shortages were already starting to happen, the supply chain problems were happening, and they were blaming it on the pandemic. But now it's Putin. There will be another reason in the future, but I think they're going to drag this out for a decade, this thing. Because this time they want us to pay attention. Don't you think it's weird that they've had several revolutions in Ukraine and nobody really cared over the past couple of years? Like, they had the orange revolution there, and I think it was 2004 when they voted in, and they got mad because the Russian guy got in. They didn't believe it, so they had another election. and then he won again. And then, the, you know, they've constantly been being played. And you could look into declassified CIA documents that talk about the United States protecting a lot of people that was on the other side of World War II, if you know what I mean. And all the way up until now, we've been interfering in it, and it's been the same factions. But back to the flag, I think that's like a major one of those things like 9/11. It's something that they put in the conscience of people that they don't even know the iconography that they're looking at. But it's actually a really big deal because most flags in Europe represent an ethnicity or an empire, and they have certain colors that represent those. You know, the Anglo-Saxon Empire, if that's what you want to call it, is the red, white, and blue. You know, Great Britain, the United States, Japan, even though I'm not saying Japan's Anglo-Saxon, but they're part of the empire. And then you can look at South Korea. They adopted the red, white, and blue. You got Australia, red, white, and blue. And this seems to be on the – you know, the mirror universe where these are starting to be the most totalitarian stuff. And then when you're hearing our leaders right now talking about the federal power taking over cryptocurrency, they've already taken over all of medicine. They pretty much have a handle on all the food. And right, what they're going to do right now, and we're seeing it in real time, is cut off every last bit of energy that any, you know, first world country could sustain themselves on. And then once that energy shuts down, we're back to small groups of agrarian cliques. And I say that because I think that's the only way we're going to move forward is by knowing a little clique or a little tribe of people that are like-minded, that are all trying to achieve something, produce something. And basically, we're just going to have to opt out of the giant, what's become a worldwide psyop that's ever-changing, ever-evolving, but they're never going to cease on the pressure of the peasant. And then to circle back about the frequency. So you got all this fear, you got all these changes, you have, you know, a lot of changes within, how governments see their role in childhood upbringing versus the parent. And this is all coming to a head. And if you think it's bad in 2022, just give it two more years. I mean, look how fast it changed from 2019 to 2020. And then from 2020 to 21, things happened that you would never have ever believed, not just 10 years ago. And now we're in 2022 where they've doubled, tripled, and quadrupled down on lying, propaganda, and misinformation at the same time as accusing everyone of being misinformed. And then you find out when you start looking at all these contributing factors, like, say the virus does shrink your brain, you know, and then you have all of these people with diminished, you know, IQs that aren't reaching their potential. So everybody's being, I don't know, they're pushing us out of whack, out of tune right now more than ever. And I think it's exactly what you said. I think it's because the natural cycle is about to, well, I'm not going to say about to. It is changing people in the real time. We're becoming a new species that if they wouldn't have messed with it, I think it would have been a new renaissance about right now, a new, you know, singularity of thought for humans. But they're going out of their way to try to put that genie back in the bottle. Now, I don't know if it's actually possible, but the world government that we're kind of talking about has become so big that I think it's about to eat itself. Kind of like the snake eating its tail as part of a planned reset. I think the destruction of civilization is the main goal right now, not just in the populace, but everything that you consider civilization, you know, massive food trade, you know, schools, teaching actual thought, mathematics, science, all of those things are just going away. And I could see that in, you know, 30 or 40 years, you could be possibly back at a place where a group of elite people are trying to perpetrate themselves as divine. They might be going the transhuman route, which is what the way I think they're going. But I think we're back at that 12,000 years ago. And I don't mean like the cycles of the planets and the weather. I just mean the massive change of one civilization to another where the last one is forgotten about, just like the last one pre-Ice Age is totally forgotten about, but there's so much evidence showing there was a technological civilization worldwide in communication, not unlike now, where we're about to be cut off from the world tribe. And, you know, we really got to focus inward and try to protect ourselves and the you know, frequency that we're on, so to speak.
Yeah, I'll say another place to look for, Republic of Georgia. That's a breadbasket, and that's a Mount Ararat, the first place that grapevines were planted after the Ark landed on Mount Ararat that they have found. And then, you know, down valley, then we come to Republic of Georgia, first place, longest reported known wine production, 8,000 years of cultivars. So that area is steeped in history. And I do believe, yeah, you know, there's a wipeout of a civilization. Nothing ever is ever known of it. I mean, you try to find an enormous amount of materials from Mesopotamia. It's just, there's a few things in the museums. Most of it's in the back room. A few images up on the net, a few papers about it. But that was the greatest culture in history, one of them. And there's so little known about it. And really, think about how much we know about today's culture, like how many just thousands and millions of warehouses of information, of books, if that were to be, gadgets, devices, things. We got one of everything that was ever made and put it in there. But we go to Mesopotamia and Harappa, the Indus Valley civilizations, these kind of cradles of civilization. We have nothing. We don't know anything. And how is that? The two greatest time periods for the rise of humanity, written languages, architecture, etc. There's almost nothing known. Really, when I say almost nothing, I do mean almost nothing. And if you were to ask anybody on the street, hey, tell me about Mesopotamia, hell, they don't even know when the birth of our country was, some of them. You know, you walk over, I see Mark Dice do these things on the boardwalk out there. I'll say, what does July 4th mean to you? These are Americans, right? Not foreigners. He always, you know, chooses Americans. He's like, what is July 4th? And like, I don't know.
That's a great day. That's for barbecue and beer, man. You know,
isn't that the free beer day? I don't know, man. I'm like, wait a second. You know, like, if it's that. So tell me about Mesopotamia. Well, they can't even tell you about to their own country. Well, tell me about Harappa. Lost civilization. Will ours be one of them? I don't know. Ransom Godwin, right along with me here, David Dubon. Be back in 2 minutes and 2 seconds. We're going to continue our conversation. Ready for the change? Let's get ready together.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to the second hour of Mini Ice Age Conversations podcast and radio program right here on Revolution Radio Studio A. Oh, free speech. You love it. You need it. We need the communication lines open. Please remember a donation, freedomslips.com, right at the donate tab. Many ways to continue to fund the production so we can bring you conversations like this to help us all move forward through these changes, you know. We're going to have solutions, conversations about that, but we're also going to need to identify the problem and maybe put a timeline with it. But many places around, you see, that is stifled at the moment. Censorship, censorship, and more censorship. And that's capital C on each top of those. So freedomslips.com, line of communication open. We'll continue on here. Just before the break, you know, you look at some of these areas and there's possibilities to expand production. And for me, expansion of production doesn't really mean that it can't be brought online. You have to look through civilization's history here, and where were the places that have risen and fallen, but that still remain online through the rise and fall of other great empires and kingdoms and fiefdoms, emperors, whatever it is, dynasties. They have come and they've gone, they've come and they've gone. But where are the areas around the planet that have continued to produce regardless of the fall of civilizations and, like I say, all these great structures of what is considered civilization at that point? Well, one of the focal points, obviously, Republic of Georgia and Ukraine and Kazakhstan. And you look at China, they have the lowest wheat yield ever for the winter wheat ever in history, ever in China this year, right now. Now, I know that only goes back probably 200 years, not 4,000, but still. Something significant's going on here, and you see why China has pulled so much food into its belly. So where are other locations that have stayed online continuously through all of these cycles and all of the changes of governments? Well, it seems to be that thin band along the Caucasus from the Black Sea over the Caspian Sea. That whole region, Black Sea, see, it's making its own microclimate through there with the two seas together. So I think that has something to do with its significant, I guess, pushback against the impacts that might be felt in, say, Central Europe, where there's no, it's literally outside of the grasp of any kind of water body heating or water body effects. You know, we have to look here in the Western world too. Central America is one of those places that has continuous agriculture forever and collapse and rise and collapse. But you strand outside these bands, and Indonesia too, if you go back, they have serious civilization going back 4, 6, 8,000 years, continuous production of food. Equatorial moving up toward, like I say, these special zones that are on the planet. Caucasus. Where else might be some places? You know, there's only a certain handful of these, and it seems that all governments are pouncing on them in fashion to control and then put themselves in the driver's seat for food production moving forward. I don't know. That's how I see it. Ukraine suspends the export of meat, buckwheat, sugar, and other products, which also includes corn, oats, millet, salt, table salt, and fertilizers, potash, urea, wheat. And, you know, you look at this and you go, that just yanked an enormous amount of supply out of the global supply system. And then Russia also taking away the fertilizer and suspending all wheat and corn exports. Like, ouch. But they're keeping it in their countries. You know, they will come off and probably say, well, they're bad people. They won't sell us the wheat. They won't sell us the corn. They're so bad. Putin bad. Putin gasoline. Putin wheat. That's all his fault. Don't talk about the grand solar minimum. All his fault. But we just had the rug yanked out from under us here. Now, I'm just wondering, these guys seem like they're dancing in conjunction at a sock hop somewhere, you know? The prom dance. You go left, hey, I'll go right. Hey, you go left, hey, I'll go right. Hey. All across the floor, dragging society and the civilization and the media with it to push onto the people. Just saying, Ransom, just saying. I don't know. Maybe that was a long-winded re-intro for hour number two.
No way, man. And, you know, you were really on something about – you mentioned these areas that have come, collapsed, and come back and collapsed and come back and collapsed, and these are the same areas that grow agriculture through extended written history. And then you got to wonder – why, like in 2003, when basically these invasions of countries really got going. So I'm not counting the Russian invasion of Ukraine as by any means the first unjust, probably, invasion in the last 20 years. But think about what happened shortly after, you know, we went into Iraq in 2003. ISIS, which, you know, we don't want to talk about who funded, trained, and armed them, but ISIS was going around and blowing up all that history, the remaining history that was the only link that we really had to that world. And like you're saying, most of it is just lost. And there have been several campaigns throughout history that have aimed to destroy more of it, whether it be Christians, Muslims, or whoever was doing it. And in recent times, it seemed like, you know, some of the bad boys Gaddafi and Saddam and all of these places were starting to ignore the rest of the world. They were starting to, you know, create gold-backed currencies for themselves. They were starting up major agriculture zones again in ancient areas. Yeah, because you could go back to any, you know, pharaonic story, and they were really tied deeply with Libya and that Libyan area in North Africa. So that whole stretch from Libya all the way over to Iran. And we call it the cradle of civilization. And you hear about the Hanging Gardens and all of the agriculture after the flood that, you know, spread out, and you can go to Machu Picchu in South America and you find the same thing. But these are the areas that, you know, like in Machu Picchu and Pumapunku and places like that, they don't seem to really be war torn. But at the same time, those were ancient civilizations that didn't have writing on their, you know, on their monuments that they built. They didn't have any writing. So there really was no secret to be gained by the peasants or the lower class. However, like you were talking about, the Sumerians, the Mesopotamians, the Babylonians, the Harappa, all of these different people had writing systems that wrote down pretty good histories. And in recent times, in the 2000s, we found bunches of it, thousands, hundreds of thousands of tablets. Where are they now? They're just disappeared, gone. The ones that were too big to move, they've been dynamited, TNT'd, blown up. So there's been a campaign, if you want to look at it that way, for 20 years, not much different from the stories of burning the Library of Alexandria, where it was a preemptive eradication of ancient knowledge before, while we came up to this time period we're in now. And now we're at a point where basically, worldwide, think of all of the, specialists or, you know, people that are really good at a certain topic. You could pick a bunch of them. All of those people will be cut off, from the world, and all of their works will be cut off. And all you have to do is turn off the internet. And I don't mean turn it off completely, because, you know, they'll have a form of it that they want you to participate in, but all of the searches for information is disappearing right now. Like, I know, because I've been a researcher pretty much since the internet came on. I've been like that, just looking around, reading everything. That information is really becoming hard to come by. You know, it's hard to find things. Everything is blocked, censored, copyrighted, or some other thing that limits the average person from gaining information. So we're in a last little bubble right now, where we can find out a lot of secrets about the ancient world that may help us now, but that window is closing so fast. And think about how the world is shutting down now. They practiced it with the lockdowns, and what we're looking at is a more feudalistic system, kind of like in the Dark Ages, where people did not really travel worldwide. They stayed within their little grow zone with the Lord above them that took, you know, most of their crops. And that's basically what we're doing right now. They're going to diminish the food output. And then these lords, which you could call governors or mayors now, are going to be in control of the flow of not only information, but food. So think about of all the times in history, no empire has been able to, you know, totally squash information, but I think we're at that point now where they actually have the means, the opportunity to do that, and they picked a perfect time. And you know, we keep ad nauseum saying this, it is not on accident. This is the end of one pattern and the beginning of another, and these Klaus Schwab individuals are just the face, the figurehead that we get to see. And you got to remember that there's people above them that you have never seen, never heard of, you don't know their name, and these are the people that really hold the major power in our planet. You can imagine, like, the royals, the Windsor family and all of the gold that they own. And then think about, like, Saudi Arabia and all of these other countries, China, the United States. Supposedly they have a lot of gold, but it's never seen anymore. No one can actually see it. And it kind of makes you wonder, are they gathering all this up for a payment? Or are they just gathering it all up so that no human being on the planet has any way to fight them back with any kind of economic power in the future? This is the most technological time that we know of. I don't think it's the first, but it's the one that we know of. And what are they using it for? I mean, they're not using it for expanding mankind or opening our consciousness or, you know, furthering our education as human beings. It's all about censorship. You know, and limiting brain power, limiting knowledge, limiting resources. And now we're to the point where they're going to start really making it hard for people to think with less food, less energy, and, you know, more time toiling and less time inventing, less time thinking, and more time, you know, in strife. So I'm looking at it like this way. I'm assuming I'm just going to go broke right now. Everybody's about to go broke, unlike what they ever thought they were going to. So if you have things set up to grow food, you might not be spending what other people are spending. Like, say, in the middle of the summer, I can go out, I cut me two squashes, some lettuce, a couple of radishes. I got an abundance of food that just came out of a little area, and all I have to do is get me some kind of meat source to go with that. And, you know, for people that actually have a little bit of land, they don't even need that part. They can go out and, you know, get a goat, get a hog, butcher a cow. I would think if people are really smart, what they need to look into right now is a big freezer and a way to power that freezer without the grid. So you could store beef, goats, pig, whatever, you know, lard, whatever it is. Lard you can keep for a long time at room temperature, but some of these things, you know, will go bad if you don't know how to dry it. And this summer, particularly, I want to learn how to cure meat, dry meat, to the point where I can be out with a flint knife and survive on the earth. Because you think about it, human beings are really kind of pansies as far as living in the environment. We don't even seem like we were built to live in most environments. And then on top of that, over time, over the past 2,000 years, our muscles have diminished, our bones are smaller, and our IQ is just, you know, it's dropping. At the same time, our brain is getting bigger, our IQ is dropping at the same time. So there's evidence out there that we are going to evolutionary change right now, and it seems like they know this, and they've been measuring it, and they know how long it's going to take, and they knew when it was about to take place. And here we are where they're fighting with every tool that they can. And you got to ask yourself, what is the big secret that human beings would be able to come up with if left alone for a little while? And I think this whole shutdown of society and the era is going to backfire on the elite in the way that people are going to strive, try harder, because you know, with animals, plants included, they seem to do better having longer lifespans. You can look into a lot of studies about mice and how they've treated them. On one hand, if you feed the mice really good, they have short, happy lives, I guess. But a mouse on a starvation diet can live almost twice as long. And that applies for all of the other mammals. And then when you get into the plants, kind of the more trauma they have, the rougher time that they have as a plant, but as long as it doesn't die, it will produce better fruit, and it'll be a better, hardier plant. The seeds that you get from it, you know, are going to be better next year. And I have all of these, you know, seeds people have been sending me. And I just wonder how much, one person, just me, can produce. Can I produce enough food for 10 people, 5 people, 2 people? What is it that you can produce? And you're going to have to start asking yourself, are you going to be part of production, or are you going to be a hungry belly out there trying to take from others because you didn't, you know, think about the future? And I think that time is kind of over, the time of, you know, long-term prepping, but I still think that there's plenty of time out there in the rat race, for people that know what's going on, or just have an inkling to start changing their habits. And I think that if more and more people do that, more and more people will see it, and then more people will do it. And then the elite have a problem, because when you take the power of hunger and the power of energy out of their hands, they have no power over us at all.
Hence the reason maybe to destroy the rest of the Tartarian wireless devices through that area, because like you say, duress situations, people start to figure that out. The wireless motors, the Tesla patents. You know, doesn't really surprise me that World War II may have been a way to wipe out all the antiquitech through Europe. Because we sure don't have very much of that around in the U.S. Most of that was destroyed in the 1800s on purpose. Early 1900s. So there really wasn't much left in the States, but there was an enormous amount of records of just vast amounts of what we consider European-style buildings. And these sort of out-of-place everything circa 1617, early 1800s, and a lot of it was destroyed, like I said. The bevy of it was still over right there in that region of Europe. So Would it be without a stretch? Is that the reason they bombed so many cathedrals and palaces and castles and churches and holy spots and sacred spots and ancient spots all through World War II across Europe and the North African deserts to literally just grains of sand? I mean, how much Antiquitech could they have removed? Because you look at those postcards where, you know, 1920 World's Fair in Paris, and you're like, whoa, that was definitely not built for a World's Fair. And you see so many, like Chicago, same way, so many of these ornate buildings, Nashville, Tennessee. Think about Nashville. There's a Parthenon there, but there were 20 other buildings made of white marble as well. I mean, you start to look at this history that we have here is just – it seems there was a global civilization around with technology similar to our own, manipulated and used in a different way. But if you look at Tartaria, the heart of Tartaria, that's in the Ukraine and that part of Russia right there into the Volga region. So maybe this war is to, like you said, you're going to figure it out eventually. Maybe this is to destroy all the rest of that ancient culture that was still just kind of left over, that nobody really put two and two together. But now, because we have the internet, and now because everybody's pushing clean energy, they're looking at other solutions like magnetic motors, Parandev magnetic motors, Tesla technologies, plasma technologies, electrofuels, you know, shattering molecular bonds and then snapping them back together to create fuels out of air, literally out of air. Break up CO2 and break up hydrogen, or break up water, and you got the carbon and the hydrogen. You slam those together in different forms to create long string or short string molecules, depending if it's going to be propane, butane, diesel fuel. It's all about a sort of alchemy using electricity. Oh, wait, that was all Tesla technologies back in the 1800s. So we were figuring it out. And like you say, you know, they're getting devilishly close to being able to be self-autonomous, completely off the grid. Imagine wireless power, you know, magnetic mode. No, you wouldn't even need distribution. You could all make it right at your house or right in your community. So, you know, destroying the old so you don't have that option of even figuring it out and then cut all the ties to the internet, you know, you would take people back to the informational stone age pretty quick. Because most people rely on, even myself, you know, I was looking for fertilizer requirements for a fair few of my fruit trees today and yesterday. I didn't know that by heart, but all grandparents did. I had to look it up on the net, but what if the net wasn't there? You know, I right now would not be able to fertilize every one of my trees properly to get them to bloom out and then really set heavy fruit. You know, I'm learning as I'm going, but I need the internet to help me learn how to go. But I've taken the steps to start to write the information down, you know, make a little spreadsheet, print it off, that sort of thing. But how quickly would it dissolve? There just wouldn't be that many people left after a year if the electricity turned on, if we had to go back to that. No power. Living like you did in the 1800s, hand tools. Everything taking 50 times as long to build something because you're going to have to use the screw by hand to put screws in. So you can pre-drill it by using a hand drill. But then by screwing the screw in, you imagine you'd have to get like a ratchet on it or something. But, yeah, knocking us back to the Stone Age. Right when we were at the cusp of wireless technologies and free energy devices. You know, perhaps that's what UFO technology is, that's supposed to be presented to us as some sort of unveiling of information. Anti-gravity technology is the same thing. Two oppositional disks with different energetic charge in them that create a off charge that's way more than the input. So, I mean, there's many millions of solutions out there for us to not have to deal with any of it, but it seems like the chaos is on purpose by a non-world consciousness, off-world, non-human consciousness that's pushing at this play. It's like we're a mound of red ants or something being exterminated. And I'm wondering when the mind wakes up and then it just stops, or we jump reality and then it just, we're on a different plane altogether, and then it just disappeared out of our sight and we're just suddenly at this different place. You know, there's so many metaphysical ways to go with it. I mean, I've kind of given up on looking at the news a lot, knowing that everything I'm seeing is a distraction to cover the crop losses. So I'm distantly back from it, hot air balloon looking down on it. But some people are immersed in the fear on it too. So I don't know, is my world splitting away because I'm not just buying into the narrative right away? It took a long time for the narrative to get not bought into for COVID. Like everybody, you know, including myself, like I was traveling during that time and I was like, whoa, holy smokes, this is a real deal here. But, you know, it took me a fair year or more to figure out what was going on with that. But this time it's right away. It's like, no. This is like weeks in and I already figured out it's a scam, planned, cover story. So for me, I've already distanced myself from it. So I've done that learning curve of instead of taking a year, 9 months or whatever, 9 months of the COVID thing to distance myself from it. Now I've done it after 2 weeks. So my reality is probably going to be quite a bit different from the fear factor. I hopefully could be able to maneuver through because all I'm doing now, I'm not buying into the fear. I'm looking at the maneuvers that they're doing, these elitists with the sanctions, to try to figure out what's going to get cut off first, second, third, and then, you know, go down the chain a little bit and see where the next steps are going to be. When if that gets cut off, then what? Now, where does that lead down the chain? Nickel gets cut off. Okay, we lose batteries. Well, you need batteries to prep. Hopefully you got rechargeables. If you don't, sorry. Those one-time usage things, they're almost not even worth buying. I'm going to say in a pinch, they're worth buying. But as a long-term source to recharge and recharge and recharge and have lights all the time through a couple-year period, you're not going to ever have any that many batteries that are, you know, single usage. You're going to have to continually recharge things. So I don't know. I'm just looking to see the metal shortage is next, and I'm going to affirm that and say the gold and silver shortages are next. We're seeing front page news, fuel shortages now. But because of the banking sanctions, what's considered good delivery of the accredited miner suppliers, refiners, and smelters that feed into the London Bullion Metals Exchange, we're saying, hey, if you're on a sanctioned bank, we can't deal with you anymore. So six of the largest suppliers, which is almost all of them, I think there's one non-sanctioned, probably will be by today, entity that was able to fulfill. So basically London has its entire gold supply cut off for delivery. So when people take physical contract delivery, they're not going to get it. And it's not going to take very long to say, there's no more left. Now what? The run's on. The run is on right now. Because I know with the COMEX, which is the U.S. version of the same thing, of a London or the London Metals Exchange, we have COMEX. Physical settlement can be taken out of that. A lot of high-tech companies take physical gold delivery because they need it for their product. Jewelry makers as well. They take the physical delivery. All the 1,000-ounce bars are gone. So anybody trying to take delivery now is relegated to like 250-ounce bars mixed in with a bunch of loose coins and 10-ounce bar here, and they're trying to scrape together a 1,000-ounce delivery contract of scraps that are put together. That's what they've lost. There's no more large bars left, so which means somebody cleaned them all out already and took physical delivery of all what was considered deliverable bars, just the standard sizes. So now we're down to nickels and dimes left in these exchanges across the planet. The gold has basically run out. And the silver, I don't know, if you looked at APMEX, I did a video this morning where it was showing APMEX, the bullion, you know, online vendor there, increased 250% in the interest of orders and online visits and, you know, to that silver. And also gold was following somewhere around the 180 to 200% mark as well. And you look up in Canada, almost everything selling online is completely out. There's nothing left in Canada because the Canadian Royal Mint can't even supply to the wholesalers and vendors that are selling online. They're totally out also. So wait a second. Canada's completely out of oil or out of gold and silver already. COMEX has run out. London has run out. And now they're not going to get delivered to. And this downward spiral is going to be pretty relevant and in the news by no later than the mid next week. And then you're going to see a run on metals. You're going to watch the prices just keep going up and up and up. And at some point when your loaf of bread costs you $50, you go, maybe I should have XYZ, but by that time it's far too late, you know? I mean, we do have a little bit of time left. I think you got until May maximum. After that point, you're going to be on rationing anyway. So unless you got some good skills or some kind of super incredible tradable, After May, your time has run out, and I hate to say that. I'm very optimistic on things. When you're operating on rationing cards and, you know, quadruple pricing and inavailability, and then you're on rations, it's damn difficult to get prepped out at that point. Excuse my French. I think how much time do you think everybody has left there, Ransom? I think we're kind of at the end. 2 months max, and I think we're done here. You either got it or you don't.
I think we're going to see food riots as early as the middle of the summer, if not the summer, fall. I mean, like literal food riots.
Oh, fall for sure, yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking at the gold price here. It's almost at 2,000 an ounce, which is pretty close to its all-time high. Not quite. But I was also looking at inflation, and you can kind of see between, you know, Biden signing that executive order the other day, the Federal Reserve guy talking about adopting the Chinese credit score, which is funny because we said that over a year ago that they were going to do that. So they're really pushing. So I think here in the U.S., the main thing that's going on here is the destruction of wealth. They've been doing it for a while with the inherited wealth. But now it's just straight up. They're just going to make the money worth nothing. Meanwhile, like you said, the gold, silver, and other precious metals are going to skyrocket as far as price, but nobody's going to be able to get a hold of them. And the companies wanting to buy them for this, that, or the other thing are probably not going to want to pay these exorbitant prices for it. And then even if they do, imagine all your electronic goods that have silver, gold, or, you know, palladium, or, you know, whatever it is that they're using, all of it's skyrocketing, all of it's becoming scarce. And I don't think it's because, you know, people are holding on to it like the little guy. It's the big holders that are doing this. And it's the same with the oil. What are we at, $200 almost a barrel now? They are trying to crush any first world country that has any semblance of inherited wealth or a middle class that could produce a rival force to what that they're making right now. So I think I'm going to say early summer, if not fall. I mean, I'm going to say you're going to look on the TV and you're going to see food riots in either Europe or, you know, most likely Europe, because, you know, Russia's going to start cutting off all of the power that pretty much powers Europe. It's not us that's doing it. It's Russia. So if there really is a, you know, a continued issue with Russia, you're going to see all these economic collapses happen all through Europe, food riots. I mean, that's my picture of what's going on right now. Now, over here, I think that everybody's just so lethargic that they're literally going to wait till their refrigerator's empty, the store's empty, and then they're going to be crying about why, you know, they got some EBT money. But it doesn't cover the cost of the food if the food is even there. You know what I mean? But don't worry about it. You'll be able to buy Cokes, candies, potato chips all the way to the end. Don't worry about that.
And it'll all be Donald Trump's fault. Yeah, like there's got to be a scapegoat somewhere. Unbelievable. Yeah, so I would come in with a similar timeline on that. You know, the awareness. So here's the it's going to go in a couple stages. You know, it's going to go from light to medium to heavy to extreme. Well, the beginning of the awareness for at least those who can read and read the news and still don't just follow the Kardashians would be that in May, in the middle of May, pretty much all planting's done, maybe up to last week of May, first week of June. Pretty much every bit of planting has been done across the U.S. and Canada and pretty much everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere. So looking at the amount of fertilizers that will not be available and the herbicides following and the pesticides following that, farmers will give you a way better gauge on what's not being grown than the USDA will. Now, the USDA is probably going to try to stabilize markets unless they're in on it, and they will put out the true numbers of like minus 90% or a 50% reduction across grains in the U.S. or something like this. But the farmers are going to come out and give us the numbers first. And I think since it's such a tandem show here that I think USDA is going to be in on it, and they're going to spook people with crop yield forecasts on purpose. that first awareness is going to be the last time you got to get anything, because at that point it's going to be a panic buy situation. That is where it leads to the rationing, because it's going to be panic bought at every time a truck comes in. It barely makes it to the loading dock before it's stripped. All the people can pay for it, but it'll be one of those things like just before hurricane. But everywhere across the entire planet, anytime a truck's moving, it'll be like a hurricane situation. That's going to be the awareness stage of the reality that we won't grow enough food and your children might starve. And as we come into and through the summer months and we really start to look at it, and you look at a crop, or you even take a crop tour and look at the fields and it's only 20% of what it should be, that's going to make it pretty fast through social media, and that'll be the uh-oh, aha moment. And, you know, at that point, grain pricing, and it'll all be off the charter suspended by that point anyway on the futures market. It'll be too expensive, not available, just like they're doing with nickel right now. So then the entire planet is woken up by the summer, and then, yeah, you're right, it comes into when the harvest season numbers come in. Going to be hard to fib those, because, I mean, everybody's going to be on top of it with a microscope. I mean, nobody really pays attention to agricultural commodities and, like, what silos are filling up or what granaries are at what price and, you know, who's forward bought what and, you know, what rail cars are delivering to what customers and things. That's kind of on the back burner. It's very little followed except in ag circles, and it's just there's no, like, detective work inside it like there are with an enormous amount of, investigative journalists doing stuff now. But that'll be the same thing with the investigative journalism on truly how much crops are out there. And there's going to be a lot more eyes looking at the forecast, the numbers, the yields, the trucks coming off the farms, people talking, social media, chatting. And it's going to be the real deal, way front running ahead of any government agency on truly what's happening. And, man, it's going to be scary when it comes in. And all this, you know, starts to make it through the Twitter sphere and the Facebook sphere, and then they hear it on MSNBC, and then at that point the ration has begun. And then, you know, Americans just can't deal with rationing. I'm telling you, they're not going to be able to deal with it. A, to sign up for a digital ID to have a digital rationing card on your phone that's connected to your vaccine passport is not going to be doable for most older people. You know, and I mean, for me, I don't want anything on the phone like that. I don't want to be ID'd to go in and get food. I don't want to have to get my central bank digital currency universal basic income on that same app either. And I sure don't want to be tracked and traced for a social credit score on that same app either. You see how all these combine into? We've got all these different sets of circumstances, but they're all combining into this track and trace digital ID app, facial whatever ID it is. It's all going to be consolidated under one app with your social credit score in it on your phone. And that's where it's going to start. Starving, hungry people will do things that vaccinated people will not do. Or you can't coerce everybody to jam a needle in their arm. Okay. Religious exemptions. I don't care what religion you are, you're going to eat. I don't care what age bracket you are, you're going to eat. I don't care how medically informed or misinformed you are, you need to eat. You're left-leaning, you're right-leaning, don't care, you need to eat. So getting people on a rationing system, on a digital ID, is going to be the fastest, easiest way to bring the entire planet under one digital ID instantly almost. I mean, literally within months this is going to happen here. So I love the play out so quickly, because you can call BS or not, and when it starts to unfold, you're like, oh, those guys are on it again. How did they... It's not about really forecasting the future. It's knowing the plan that these elitists have planned ED and just reading the book and understanding where they're going to take us from now to that plan. And you can kind of map it out with many scenarios through there, so you can kind of give a forecast because you already know where they're going. It's like me driving here. If I'm going to Miami, I already know what highway I'm taking. But if I just dropped you here and said, all right, you need to get to Miami, and you don't know a start point, you don't know where you are, it's going to be very difficult for you. I'm going to blindfold you and drop you somewhere in the States, and I'm going to say, go to Miami. And you'll be like, oh, okay, I got to figure out, is it north or west? And I'm looking at the sun. Which direction is it? Oh, I came to the coast. I need to go west. I need to go east. Okay, it's going to be much more difficult without a roadmap or knowing what the plan is. Once you know the plan and where we're going, you already know the outcome. And by knowing the outcome, then you can do the back, you just backstep it. Where we sit today, compare the outcome, how long that might take, and what's the road up, road that they're going to try to get us down and get us there. See, that's how, you know, you look at like Jeff Rentz and who's that, David Icke and Alex Jones and this crew of people who seem to be, you know, looking back now, the most soothsayer fortune tellers on the planet, because they were all correct on how this was manifesting out those last 20 years since 9/11, 22, 23 years. It is almost supernatural the way they have gamed out everything, that crew of truthers, to tell you exactly. But it took longer. It took 20 years to play out. But they also, you know, I watch these guys sometimes and they say the same thing. We already knew where they were going and what the end plan was, so we could tell you how we were going from here to there. So, you know, looking at some of their programming, and they already had known where it was going, the end. Now I know where we're going to also. And this food thing, they're going to go to digital IDs. They want to get you back in the cities. Now, I don't know if these executive orders to make people leave off their land and confiscate things is going to be used, or how long would it take? If they say Biden comes in, he says, all right, executive order is going to be executed. Everybody that has a farm, you have to leave your farm, and everybody in the countryside has to leave in like 14 days or under. We're going to come sweep through with the army and clear everybody out if you're not out. I don't really know if that would work or how long it would take. Let's say you did. Let's say, okay, just for mind's sake, everybody went along with it and said, okay, we'll go. Like, that would take longer than 14 days. Oh, we're going to confiscate every one of your assets, too. If you got gold, silver, safes, guns, tools, leave your car there, too. You got to walk off your farm with nothing on your back. We're going to confiscate everything. Now, that might be more doable than having everybody say, get out your land. Because people are not going to go off. Like, the awareness is kind of out there now. Nobody's going to leave and go down without a fight this time, I don't think. Fool me once, shame on you. Worth it now, fool me twice, intersection of the crossroad here. And once people understand this, it's all about their food and the kids are starving, the anger is going to be about 50x what it would have been. I'm just like an organic anger kind of thing. Oh, I'm angry because I don't have food. But once they understand that this was part of the plan for the reset, and they could have been working at self-sufficiency for 20 years, but warned off it and never warned about this onset of the cycle, the anger is going to be way, way, way off the hook and way ferocious. Like, there's tales of just people that have gone insane in anger and wow, man. That is something you don't want to witness firsthand. But that'll be directed toward government and people in power and people manning the doors at grocery stores and people in the trucks delivering the food. It's going to turn into Venezuela, sort of, on that security side of things for food deliveries. So, again, it gives another excuse to bring out the military, got to guard the food. You know, I don't know where it's taking us, but you know, gaming it out. They want everybody digitally ID'd. They want everybody in the cities. They want you off the farms. So at least we know that far out. Now, can you add any more to that? Like, where are we going to there, Ransom? Like, we know the end plan. At least those two things are for sure. So digital IDs with a rationing, that's an easy one. But then getting people back in the cities, that's a little more difficult play to, like, let it unfurl, game it out. But what do you think the next couple two things I'm missing are?
I don't know, but I actually think this whole thing may be coming to a head even sooner than we think. If you think about this, so we're talking about food shortages, supply chain disruption, and then you add in the gas crisis. Well, to get to Florida, I know the country pretty good. I have a great mental map of America, back roads, everything. But say I didn't, I'd just head east till I hit the coast, you know, and then head south, and there you are. But how are you going to get there with no gas? And gas is skyrocketing, so you necessarily know that all the prices on top of inflation, on top of supply chain disruptions, is going to go up even further because of gas prices. But then think about this, David. They're estimating all these projections, already dim, you know, dismal projections the government is giving out. They're basing that on a census that they took in 2020, which seems to be short an estimated 20 million people of American citizens. That's not counting the estimated 30 to 40 million non-citizens that live in the U.S. Now, when you add all of those extra people, you can see that things are a little bit worse than they seem to be as far as how much there is and how much can go around. Now, I, for one, think there's probably stockpiled food all kinds of places all over, but they're not going to let people have it. It's a metered system. So as long as the prices are up, they'll sell their, you know, old can of corn at the, you know, absorbent price that it is now. Just like, when you go to the store in Walmart, they trick everyone with their rollback prices where they'll start at the beginning of the year with a price and they'll slowly raise it all year. And then they'll roll back prices back to the original price or a little above it. And you could guarantee they're going to do that with all of these things, food, gas, and I don't mean Walmart. I mean the entire economy. It'll go down, but it'll never go back down the way it was. It'll always stay up. So you could just picture it. There's way more people than there's supposed to be here that they're not even counting. So they're not estimating that in the problems when they talk about inflation. And the White House is talking about you need to be used to inflation and hard times for months to come. It's not going to go away anytime soon. So, you know, every once in a while they tell you the truth. And they tell you the truth when the propaganda fits their needs. Cause a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't even know that propaganda isn't necessarily lying. You could tell someone the truth nonstop and propagandize them into a place that you want them by telling them the truth. Or you could tell them like our media does, a half lie, half truth, half lie, half truth, all the way through it. So you're so confused, you really just don't know what's going on. But when you start, like you said, you start putting these pieces of the puzzle in, the food costs already were going up. We know that there's going to be shortages, whether artificial or real. And I think the artificial shortages will come followed by real shortages. And then you add in that there's actually more people, just counting the United States, there's more people here than there was. Gas prices are absorbent. So I was laughing. You were talking about, you know, rolling around in the beginning of the pandemic. I was traveling all over the place because gas was like $1.60, $1.70 where I live. So I could pretty much just kind of go everywhere pretty cheap. And the country was empty and open, because everybody was so engulfed in the fear. And really think about this now. Why be afraid of a worldwide global, you know, nuclear conflict? What are you going to do about it? You're not going to do anything about it. Unfortunately, if you live in a spot that's going to be a ground zero area, you're not going to worry about it very long. And if you don't live there, you have no reason to worry about it. So technically you could be like that guy. I don't know if you remember the guy that was in the news. But he was on like a self spiritual sabbatical, for like a year and a half, and he came back and the world was all crazy. And he was like, what COVID? What is that? Now imagine if you would have stayed there longer. If you'd have stayed 2 years, he would have came out. COVID's over. The fake. Maybe it's over, but anyway, the propaganda end of it's pretty much over. So they would have came out, they would have missed the whole thing, and they would have been living happy, comfortable the whole time, not knowing about it. It's kind of like what you were talking about. If you want to, you could just turn off the news. You could just go about your daily life and things aren't going to really change that much. Unfortunately, when you're planning for the future, you kind of have to see the trends coming, to be able to compensate your behavior for them. And the trends that I'm seeing now is a planned collapse of the U.S. into a third world country so that someone, maybe the U.N., maybe a world government, whoever it is, can come in and save us with the classic problem, reaction, solution, Hegelian dialectic. That's what we're seeing. So, you know, we start a problem over here in the shatter belt with Ukraine. Well, how are we going to fix it? Well, we're going to fix it by going to war with Russia. And then how are we going to fix a worldwide war? Well, you could just, you know, finish what they tried to do in World War I and World War II and finally have the one world government. Because they were two failed attempts. You had the League of Nations, then the United Nations, and now what's after that is just one nation. And we've talked about it. Who's going to come out on the top? It doesn't really matter, because it seems like either side is saying that they want to go the same route. Social credit score, an app that decides everything. So imagine if you said the wrong thing on Twitter and you're at the gas pump, it's already $4.20. And then the machine just says, sorry, can't give you no gas. Then you go to the ATM. Well, I need some money out. Sorry, you can't get ATM. Your banking has been canceled because you were engaged in wrong thing. Imagine infuriated people with hungry stomachs, and then multiply that with the fact that a lot of the people are awake and they know exactly who's doing it to them. And then it kind of brings me back to what you were talking about before about old world technology. I was looking at an article here about Ukraine. Well, that's the wrong one. But anyway, I was showing it a minute ago, and they were talking about hydraulic warfare. So basically they're flooding fields that would normally be, you know, growing crops, and using water to stop oncoming armies. And, you know, you were talking about how they destroyed a lot of the old world technology. Well, there was a good reason for that, because, you know, like, they don't want 100 people with their own iron cannons from their house with their homemade gunpowder showing up at the town hall meeting saying, you know what, I don't think so. So that's kind of the reason they did that. And now we're on the second phase of it. And don't you think it's ironic that our government is telling people here that they need to ban weapons because there's no need for them? And at the same time, supporting the idea that every Ukrainian citizen pick up a firearm and a Molotov cocktail. Talk about doublespeak. If the Ukrainian people need weapons to defend themselves, then why wouldn't people hear? Especially if you can see in the short-term future possible scenarios kind of looking like what's going on there with they're already having, you know, food shortages. There's turmoil going on. There's all kinds of sects forming and segregating from each other. They've already had that problem. But imagine that in the U.S. with all of the states, counties, municipalities, and different governments. They have seen this problem coming for a long time, and that's why they tried so hard to make the federal government an all-powerful entity that no state, no county, no citizen can counteract. So if you add all of this stuff in, what you're talking about worldwide, and then just look at the smaller scale of it right here in the U.S., more people than they are estimating that they're here. They're printing money like it's out of control. The food that is available is non-nutritious. Even the vegetables and fruits that you would normally get from the store have no nutrition in it, so to speak, from the depleted soil. And then you add on this fertilizer shortage, which is going to cripple commercial growing of food. So you can see without trying to get woo-woo or anything that in the next 5 years, things are going to be tumbling down in a nasty direction. But like I said, I think that, you know, people that are just sitting around and dealing with, right now in front of their face problems, like growing food, figuring out how to get clean water, trying to figure out how to live around the grid or at least compensate it some, those people are going to come out as the new, you know, group of people that are ahead, when things kind of coalesce back to a more stable time. And I'm thinking, a long time. I'm thinking it's going to be over a decade before any country starts seeing any kind of stability that we've enjoyed in the past. You imagine just going back to like 1990 and going to the store and remembering the awe of all the new products that were in there. You know, like every week there was a new cereal or a new flavor, or there was just tons of everything. And then now look at us now. You notice that even though the pandemic's closed, all of the chain stores that used to be 24 hours are still pretty much keeping the pandemic hours. They're closing at 10, they're closing at 11. Like Walmart in my town used to be a 24-hour place. It was great. You could go there, you could get stuff at any time. Now you have to go in between certain hours, and if you don't go right after the truck came, you may not get dinner, or you may get dinner that you didn't want. So we can get around this. And I have a feeling just having the guy with a closet full of pinto beans is 100% ahead of the game than everyone else.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? The currency of pinto beans. Well, I guess any bean would be currency. But the doublespeak on that, yeah, I'd like to touch on that for a second. You know how Biden's all like, shutting down the pipelines is going to really show Russia it's going to devastate their economy by shutting off their energy pipelines. Well, he shut our energy pipelines off too, called the XL Keystone Pipeline. So Biden has shut our own pipelines off, telling you in your face that shutting off pipelines is a devastating thing for an economy. Yet he'll have the audacity to say, we're going green. We need to cut off all the pipelines and shut them all down in America. But wait, that's what you just threatened as a sanction and did to really, like, drop the bottom out of the economy in a country that you targeted. It's like they're targeting our own country, too, within. So the cat was out of the bag on that one. Cut down Russian pipeline energy, devastated an economy in a country, and they came out clearly in the last few days saying that, yeah, he shut down the Keystone pipeline. Well, we need to get the pipelines back up, blah, blah, blah. But I wonder how long it'll be before people will put that two and two together. That we got hoodwinked on that. And we've done it to ourselves. And I look at the sanctions on Russia. And all the Europeans doing all the sanctions on Russia are cutting their own food supply off. And oil supply. And fertilizer supply. To themselves, by doing the sanctions to Russia, they're cutting off all the supplies to themselves. So I look at it and say, man, this thing's got to be planned to create chaos because nobody's that stupid to do everything to starve yourself out on purpose. It's like going on a purposeful hunger strike, what they're doing. Nations, continents. Unless that's the plan. Got to be the plan, man. Wrap it up, Ransom. We got a couple minutes here.
Well,
what do you think next week's taking us? Are we going to see any uptick in hostilities or gold, silver prices? What do you think?
I think the plan is to shock and awe the public as much as possible. So I think they're just going to keep hitting the public psyche with one upending every time. So I think it's time to cut these people off. Like, literally, just stop listening to them. Stop listening to their directives. I mean, you can listen to them to, you know, navigate your way, but remember, almost everything that they say, if not half of what they say, is a complete falsehood or is trying to lead you down the wrong direction. It's the biggest distraction in human history, and we're living in it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The food inflation, too, you know, it's coming up to double-digit inflation per month now, so... You know, and my inkling is this is the beginning of hyperinflation. So get ready. Hey, and by the way, a U.S. nickel is now worth 12 cents because the metal value of the actual nickel metal in there exceeds the price of the stamp value on the coin. Save your nickels, and I'll see you next week. Dave Devine here signing off. Ransom Godwin.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for joining us, spending your time. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com.
Crypt with Ivan Crypt. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in.